I'm at the Free Library of Philadelphia today for our show, and right now I'm looking at Charles Dickens' pet raven, Grip. He's on display here. He was rumored to be less than pleasant as a pet, but he's no longer a danger. He's stuffed and behind glass. He inspired Edgar Allan Poe's famous poem, The Raven, and I asked Alison Friermuth from the Free Library of Philadelphia to explain how.
So, Grip was a character study for a novel that Dickens wrote called Barnaby Rudge. In it, there's a man locked in a prison, and Grip the Raven comes to visit him. And he asks, "Who's going to save me? Who's going to save me?" And the Raven responds, "Nobody, nobody." Poe read Barnaby Rudge and thought he could do a better Raven character. So, in The Raven, his Raven says, "Nevermore, nevermore," instead of "nobody."
Thank you so much, Alison.
It was a pleasure.
Alison Friermuth from the Free Library of Philadelphia. This pet raven inspired me to think of a library of a different kind located at the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia. The fourth floor there is home to 250,000 stuffed birds, one of the largest such collections in the world, including species that are now extinct. I visited Nate Rice. He is the ornithology collection manager there, and I asked him how these birds are preserved.
So when we get the birds, we make an incision down the breast, open the skin out, and take out all the muscles and bones and organs, and then stuff that with cotton. Bird's skin is very, very thin. So unlike mammals, the leather in your shoes or on a jacket that needs to be stretched and tanned, you don't need to do that with birds. As long as you dry that skin quickly, you don't have to use any chemicals. So we prepare the bird, let it dry, and they will last literally for centuries. You know, we have specimens from the 1750s in our collection that look every bit as good as specimens that we're preparing today.
How is this collection used? What can scientists do with all of the birds here?
So that is a great question and amazingly complex. For the first maybe 190 years that the Academy was here, most of the work that came out of this collection was what we call or like to think of as taxonomic in focus, looking at questions to try to understand specifically how certain birds were related to one another, how groups of birds were related to other birds, how individual species or types of birds varied across their range, and just trying to get a grasp on that. In the last decade, two decades, maybe 25 years, that has really changed and broadened. And so now it turns out that birds can be used for all sorts of biological questions. More and more the collection is used for environmental type studies.
What kinds of things can you see from those specimens? You know, I'm thinking now of a hair sample. If somebody wants to do a drug test on me, is it like that?
Yeah, and you've probably seen or heard of some of these type studies with human hair, where you can understand what contaminants are in the human body. Exact same thing with bird specimens. You know, was mercury in the environment in the 1820s? Was arsenic native in the environment? What sort of contaminants were out there?
Does climate change come into play with this at all?
Yeah, so we can get at some of those climate change issues by studying where the birds were collected and what the environment was like at those specific points on the map. A great group of birds for that are the Arctic seabirds. And so we can, based on their stable isotope signatures, sort of fine-tune where they were and know that they were usually living right at the edge of Arctic ice flows. Map that today and see that ice flows are miles and miles distant from where those birds were collected as an indication that the environment has changed.
So scientists can take a tiny trim on the bird's feathers and then use that.
Yeah, so last year we sent out 60 loans of our specimens to researchers around the world. I think 8 or 10 different countries involved. So last year about 5,000 specimens were sent out on loan.
So this functions a lot like a library.
It is absolutely interlibrary loan, yes, absolutely.
Do you want to show me some?
Yeah, let's go have a look.
I don't know how you would pick. How many birds are in here?
We'd never finish looking at them all. There's a 250,000 specimens, and we'll take a look at a few here. So this is the common bird, the common hummingbird in eastern North America, the ruby-crowned hummingbird. And just looking at the labels, you can see some are a little bit yellow and older. So this was collected by Samuel Nicholson Rhodes in Haddonfield in 1890. And then here's modern specimens that came from downtown Philadelphia, 19th Street and JFK Boulevard, that hit a window September 13th, 2010. So right there is over a century gap, and you can see many specimens on this tray.
And they are tiny.
Yeah, just a couple inches long. You know, in life, this bird weighed 3.3 grams, so really tiny. I think 4 grams is what you can send first class, just with a single first class postage stamp.
And these birds are just on shelves in a...
These are metal trays with a baked enamel finish, so this is a totally inert storage environment. And then the cases are quite high, as you see, and a compressible silicone gasket all the way around. So when you close that door, nothing gets in. No ultraviolet light, no dust, no insect pests.
Let's look at something big.
Okay, so let's go look at some big guys now. These are vultures, new and old world vultures here. So this is a series of Andean condors here.
Wow. So how big are these birds?
They probably stand 3 or 4 feet to the top of their head, but their wingspan is awesome. It's, upwards of 12 feet.
And they have a thick neck. I never realized how thick their necks were.
Yeah, it's massively expandable. You know, they eat carrion. They eat dead flesh. And so they want to pack in as much as they can into their stomach, and then they have pouches to hold more, and so their neck is quite flaccid to hold massive amounts of dead flesh.
How do you think this collection will be used going forward? What do you hope for?
That's the coolest thing for me working here. When I started working here, my whole training, it was just in taxonomy, what we call systematic research. Now there's all this ecological and environmental work being done, and it's impossible to predict what the next step will be. The birds that I'm collecting now, we use them for very specific work, studying malaria and avian influenza and Lyme disease. But 10 years from now and 50 years from now, we have no idea what those will be used for.
Thank you so much for showing us around.
Yeah, absolutely, a pleasure, an absolute pleasure to have you.